It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle. We are not done talking about the NCAA's new transfer portal, Greg. You've got four Penn State guys who are in there. Two confirmed, two we can only assume we'll get confirmation at some point. Zach McPherson is confirmed. He will be a grad transfer for next season. He will graduate this spring. Lamont Wade, Brandon Polk, Jawan Johnson. So I wanted to take an opportunity, Greg, to just look at each of those guys' situations and how they got to that point and what the depth chart looks like in each of those cases, mm-hmm. wide receiver, cornerback, and then two wide receivers, a cornerback, and a safety. So let's start with Zach McPherson. I think his situation is interesting because he was a guy that I had assumed this season would be the fourth cornerback and would obviously graduate to something a little bit bigger in 2019. And what ended up happening was he looked like he slipped behind Donovan Johnson, mm-hmm. and now suddenly he's not on the cusp of any kind of stuff. Like, I consider, well, the way Penn State uses their cornerbacks, you consider three cornerbacks really starting jobs. You know, Tariq Castro-Fields wasn't a starter, but he was a really important piece of the puzzle. So now in 2019, McPherson, it sure looked like he would be on the outside looking in. And meanwhile, there's some young depth kind of bubbling up, yeah. a little bit. There was a good chance that he wasn't ever going to be anything more than the fourth cornerback. Certainly for 2019, maybe right. 2020.
And Penn State just brought in, what, four corners? Now Joey Porter Jr. might grow into something else. But look, if you don't play, if you're not on the field in this program going into your third year and you don't think you're going to be on the field a lot when you're in your third year, you might as well transfer, because the way they're recruiting right now, you're going to be recruited over. And James Franklin's talked about that plenty, that they're going to go out and try and find, you know, the next five, you know, they're going to try and find a guy to play over Micah Parsons in every recruiting class. Now, you're not going to find too many guys out there that want to come to Penn State, but you know, you go out and get a Brandon Smith and, you know, you can at least have that competition. So, you know, what I think you end up seeing is guys that we thought were going to be, you know, impact players. Not all of them are going to pan out. And when they realize that, they're going to look for opportunities elsewhere. Now, you know, when you talk about Zach McPherson, he was a guy that really came onto the scene at one of those high school all-star games. He returned a kick for a touchdown, yeah. or maybe it was a pick six. I can't remember, but he scored and really sort of had people excited. And I don't think he had a bad time at Penn State. He just was overplay, you know, but guys jumped over him. I mean, I don't think there's no negative plays that come to mind, but there's not also a whole lot of positive ones either. He just kind of was who he was, and other guys earn more playing time. So I think you're going to see that happen more and more as they continue to recruit to the way that they're recruiting. He played in 12 games as a, you know, in this just past season, had a couple of tackles here and there, but for the most part, I mean, he was a special teams guy and occasionally got in late in blowouts. But other than that, where was he going to take a step forward? And if there was no step forward to be taken, then it made sense for him to move on.
And it makes the most sense because he's gonna have 2 years of eligibility left without needing to sit out a year or redshirt a year or anything like that. So I think he's going to be an appealing guy. I do think that there's a number of Power 5 schools where he can probably get in there and push for a starting job right away. It just wasn't happening at Penn State, and it was hard to – if Donovan Johnson, if they had made that choice this year, it was hard to see them going back on that choice moving right. forward. So Zach McPherson, I can't really blame him for that one. If he wants to get on the field and possibly start for two seasons, he's probably better off doing that someplace else.
And he can do it as a graduate too. That's the other big thing.
That's huge. So, you know, to be penalty free in this situation is a big deal. This is kind of a follow-up to the conversation from earlier, but could Penn State now be a player in the transfer market as well? Now, with you talk about, okay, what can they do in the 2019 recruiting class to fill up some of those spots that maybe they didn't see coming, or 2020, or can they give a guy who's a walk-on or whatever a scholarship? But another part of this is I wonder if they are going to shop around a little bit too. It's like Amazon for college football coaches.
Yeah, more or less. But if you read that Bruce Feldman story, it almost sounds like that, you know, it's very, it's not exactly the easiest thing in the world to navigate. It's kind of just like a massive data dump and you have to sort of comb through it to find who's out there. I could see Penn State maybe poking around when you talk about defensive line, offensive line. But look, here's the problem. If guys are transferring from a program, there's a reason for it. You know, they weren't playing at their school more than likely. So why does Penn State want, you know, why, if those guys couldn't play at the school they were at, why are they going to play at Penn State would be the question. Now, you could say defensive tackle. Obviously, Penn State has a need there for some depth. Not, you know, you don't necessarily need a starter. You need a depth guy. So maybe a guy is out there that there was, you know, looking for some grass greener elsewhere and, you know, could find it at Penn State. But for the most part, I would assume that, you know, they may be looking at a wide receiver. That could be an area too, because now you have Polk leaving, you have Johnson leaving. So you're getting a little bit light there at wide receiver with some of the guys who graduated as well. Maybe you look for somebody in that area as well. But again, you know, you can talk about the transfer market, and I know a lot of people will, and say, well, Penn State should go get somebody, and that's fine and well, but there's a reason the guys that are leaving Penn State are leaving. There's a reason some of these guys in that database are leaving their school as well.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking Penn State football, the NCAA transfer portal, the guys who have ended up there, what depth is left, where are the Lions in need of some more talent there. Segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Best single game RV value in Happy Valley. So looking at the cornerback depth chart without Zach McPherson, you got John Reed will be a fifth-year senior next year. You've got Tariq Castro-Fields will be a true junior next year. You've got Donovan Johnson, who you can be pretty sure at this moment in time he's probably going to be their third cornerback. He'll be a redshirt sophomore. And then after that, I'm not sure. You know, DJ Brown, Trent Gordon are the guys who have been on campus for a little while. Then you've got the three freshmen coming in, Keaton Ellis, Joey Porter Jr., and Marquise Wilson. There's going to be some earning potential there, guys who can rise into new slots with McPherson looking elsewhere. So that'll be an interesting position battle to watch this spring and summer to see who can rise into bigger roles. You know, specifically DJ Brown and Trent Gordon.
Right.
You know, I think the time is now for one of those guys. You had some good favorable buzz for Trent Gordon as a true freshman this past year. He arrived in January, got a chance to create a couple waves for himself. We haven't heard much from DJ Brown, so we'll see. Lamont Wade is an interesting one. The former five-star from Western Pennsylvania, from Clareton High School. We've seen him start to get more involved in some social issues. You've seen him promote his rap albums. I think he's got a second one coming. You've also seen him move from corner to safety and not crack the starting lineup through two seasons, which was probably the early expectation for a lot of people, and I think including himself. So now he's a true sophomore, will be a true junior next year, still has a redshirt season in his back pocket, so that helps. But now him going as a transfer, I think there's a lot of negative sentiment from any fan base in a situation like this, not just for Lamont Wade, but for all these guys. You know, just some nasty comments, but especially for Wade, who people are just ready to call him a bust. And certainly it hasn't unfolded how I expected it to unfold. But 2 years, as I mentioned earlier, is still a lot of time to do, especially when, you know, he was really in the mix, maybe even the favorite to win a starting job next year.
Yeah, I would say for the, you know, I've been reading a lot of comments and such of people saying, you know, what's going on? This is worrisome that so many guys are deciding to leave, you know, so on and so forth. I mean, none of the other ones surprised me at this point. And then Lamont Wade kind of did. Now, I'll say this. Obviously, he came in with high expectations, a four-star, five-star recruit, depending on where you look. Really hasn't seen the field all that much. Special teams, yes. But, I mean, he's done some nice stuff on the punt coverage team. But otherwise, I mean, on one hand, you say, why would a guy think about leaving? And if someone's going to put their name in this database and then come back, I think it would be him. He would be my selection for that if that was the case. But at the end of the day, you know, if you think to yourself, well, he might be a starter, why is he leaving? Well, if he actually is in that starting conversation, I mean, just start doing the math. It's clear that maybe they have somebody coming in that they think, you know, Jaquan Brisker maybe. Maybe they have a grad transfer in mind. We talked about that a little bit a few minutes ago. I mean, maybe there's more going on behind the scenes here than what we know about. But he's the one that was a little bit of a surprise. But look, I mean, guys, you know, sometimes they get to a school and for a variety of reasons, they want to, you know, play somewhere else or go try and you know, turn their career corner somewhere else. So we'll see what Wade ends up doing. But as for the rest of the conversation of, you know, what's going on in state college, why are all these guys leaving? I mean, which outside of Wade potentially, which one shocks you? I don't think any of them do.
Yeah, not a huge surprise. And I mean, I would say this about Wade though. He strikes me as maybe the least football related of the potential transfers. But you do have Jonathan Sutherland. You have Garrett Taylor, as I would say, favorites to start. You have Jaquan Brisker coming in. Tyler Rudolph already on campus as a freshman. I'm not – for this position, I don't think 2019 is as concerning as beyond 2019. I think you're going to see at least one of these guys, maybe one of the true freshman corners coming in who end up going to safety before too long, because you got 3 fifth-year seniors on the roster, and then you've got Jaquan Brisker, Jonathan Sutherland, and Tyler Rudolph. So after 2019, there's going to be a numbers crunch for bodies. You might see them push for that in the rest of the 2019 recruiting class too, to try to grab another safety. Looking at wide receiver, now you lose two guys, the two elder statesmen of the group. The oldest wide receiver on the depth chart right now is KJ Hamler, Mac Hippenhammer, Cam Sullivan Brown, redshirt sophomores. It's a position that was crowded. Juwan Johnson opts to leave, and then Brandon Polk too. You're not hitting the panic button by any means, especially if you're kind of assuming that A, KJ Hamler is your best wide receiver anyway. B, Justin Shorter and Daniel George are going to be ready for prime time next season, which I think that's a good bet. And C, if you think John Dunmore is going to be ready to play early in his career too, you're not terribly concerned here. And frankly, it kind of skews the roster dynamic where you lose your biggest guy, you lose maybe your smallest guy, and now you've got a good mix of experienced big guys, shorter guys, quicker guys, possession guys. I still think the mix is really, really good at wide receiver.
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, again, you know, got to be careful how you have these conversations, because I don't want to – these kids do obviously are all trying their best. But Juwan Johnson, you'll remember him for that one-handed catch against Ohio State, but then the drop a couple of plays later. And he had the game-winning touchdown catch with Iowa. Other than that, he was a high four-star recruit that always looked apart. I mean, the guy looked like an NFL superstar pretty much from the moment he got on campus, but it never translated to that. And
we'll see. Like, to me, he looked like he might have been ready to take the next step this past season, and then you saw maybe the coaching had something to do with it. Maybe he's ready to resume that.
Yeah, that's certainly a possibility. So it wouldn't be a shock to see him go elsewhere and maybe take a step forward.
All right, we're going to keep talking some Penn State football, looking at the new hire wide receivers coach. It feels like it happened a year ago at this point with all this stuff going on, but we'll get into some of the other news of the day, so stick around.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports. In partnership with GoPSU RV, we are introducing the Keystone Sports Network RV. All the benefits of the GoPSU RV lot, along with great gift items like catered meal from 409 Barbecue, barbecue gift box, wine gift box, and of course Labatt beer. Hear all about the KSN RV? Email me at info@ksnsports.net, or you could also reach out with the Contact Us button on your KSN app.